You're listening to the B2B Revenue Executive Experience, a podcast dedicated to helping executives train their sales and marketing teams to optimize growth. Whether you're looking for techniques and strategies or tools and resources, you've come to the right place. Let's accelerate your growth in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everyone, to the B2B Revenue Executive Experience. I'm Carlos Noche, and I'm joined by my outstanding podcast partner, Lisa Schneer. How are you doing today, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Carlos. How are you doing?
I'm good. The cold weather's kind of broken, so I'm feeling in a good mood. You're probably still in the frozen tundra.
Oh, it's not so bad. It's Canada.
Is the temperature begin with negative?
Yes. It's January in Canada. But the sun is shining and there's no snow on the ground right now because we had a rainstorm a few weeks ago. So yeah, either way, we're good.
A lot to be said for sunshine. All right, folks, today we're talking about the importance of building a marketing ecosystem, one that aligns with sales process to achieve measurable success and maximizes automation.
And to help us out with this topic today, we have Ben Sturtevant. Ben is the co-founder and CEO of Elite 360, an all-in-one digital marketing solution. Ben also serves as the CMO at Elite CEOs, helping coaches in health, wealth, and relationship niches scale their businesses, or niches, as some of you Americans say. Ben, thank you so much for coming today, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. You guys were joking about frozen. So it's 50 degrees Fahrenheit in California, where I am right now, and we're freezing. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So, Ben, we like to start our show the same way every time, which is tell us something about yourself that those that only know you through work might be surprised to know about you.
That's an easy one. So I'm 46, but I play in a men's adult baseball league. It's a 35 and over men's adult baseball league. I've played in this league for over 20 years now. So I played in college and then took some time off and started a family and got back into it back in 2003. So yeah, I just had my 20-year anniversary in the baseball league.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. Keeps me young, you know, gets me out of the house once a week.
So Ben, apart from your passion for baseball, tell us a little bit about you. So I'm going to combine a bunch of questions here because I'm curious, like Elite CEOs, Elite 360, are they connected? Are they two different passions? And then tell us a little bit about the whole journey that led you here to where you are today.
So they are all connected. So I got started, believe it or not, I actually have a degree in physical therapy. That's what I went to school for. Loved what I was doing, but I live in California, very expensive place to live. My wife was a microbiologist, and together, you know, we were doing great financially. We bought our first home when we were 21, you know, doing what we're supposed to do. But she really wanted to be home with our kids. And on one income in California, that's really hard to have a nice life. So that's when I kind of took a step back and I started looking at my future. I was in my early 20s. And if I was going to make a change, that was the time to do it. And so I was introduced to the world of digital marketing and fell in love with it. I was building funnels before funnels were funnels. I ran my first Google pay-per-click ad in 2003. Leads were 5 cents each. You could say whatever you wanted in your ads and put out whatever you wanted on your landing page. It was awesome. Marketing was easier back then. It was so easy. But that's really where I got my start in the digital marketing space. It was just as a way to build a different career. And it was something I became very passionate about because I got the same opportunity to impact people and work with people. And I got into the consulting and sort of a fractional CMO role over the years. And that progressed into a partnership with a gentleman by the name of Tanner Chittister. Tanner's the CEO of Elite CEOs. I know it's a lot of acronyms, but he launched that business in 2017. And I came in 2019 to help him really grow it. So originally came in as a fractional CMO. And this business primarily focuses on the high ticket coaching space. So a lot of coaches, consultants, marketing agencies who are trying to grow their premium service offer online. And we've worked with tens of thousands of clients over the years. And over the years, what we would do is a client would come to us with, usually they're stuck. They've plateaued in their growth. They're trying to scale. They're trying to build. And they don't really know what's wrong. So we'll come in, we do a complete top to bottom audit and basically design them a strategy to help them get to where they really want to be, help them, whether it's time freedom, increased revenues, or a combination of the two. And along the journey, for many, many years, we were running into this constant roadblock where the tech stack problem, right? We would take a client who really didn't have much of an ecosystem, much of a nurture system. They didn't really have a lot of things that they needed to really make a business run. So we were having to have them duct tape together all these things. They were going over here, you know, whether it was ClickFunnels and then Kajabi and ActiveCampaign or MailChimp and Simple Text for their texting and all these strategies that we knew they needed, but they didn't have the tools for. So it created this sort of logjam. And so we set out to create a better solution for our clients. And that's where Elite 360 came from, is we decided to create an all-in-one system that we built, that we designed, that came pre-built, essentially pre-loaded with everything that they're going to need in order to take that next step forward in their business. And then all we need to do really is get in there and customize it specific to them and their offer. And this just mainly sped up the whole process of getting them results quicker. And so that's where the two kind of mesh together and how they work together.
So just a quick question to clarify a little bit for our listeners is, when you say you do a complete audit, what do you audit?
Everything from why they're starting their business or running it all the way through their client fulfillment and ascension process. So just to give you kind of the checklist. First, it's why. Most business owners, they think they're doing it to make money. They really don't. They haven't really honed in on what exactly it is that driving force is. We help them hone in on that because they're going to need to lean on it. As you guys know, being in the business world, it's hard. It's an emotional roller coaster. It's a journey. So we help them identify that first and foremost and get a lot of clarity around that. And then from there, we're diving into their offer. So many business owners come to us and they say, oh, I just need more leads, right? I just need more leads. And they really haven't looked at the major holes in their business. I call it their leaky bucket syndrome, and every business has it. So typically what we're going to do is we're going to identify what their offer is, where it can be more attractive and obviously attract more people with less spend. I just want to spend more. I just want to run ads. I want to do all these things, but they really haven't dialed in what their offer is. So that's the next thing on the ladder. Then we start diving into tactical strategy like lead generation. What are they doing to generate their leads? How much are they spending, or how many leads are they generating specifically? Then we're going to go down the next thing, which is what we call apply rate. These are mainly for higher ticket. So they're doing a sales call. We don't work with a lot of e-commerce companies who are just trying to sell directly to a cart. So these are people who, any business that has to take a sales call to make a sale. So apply rate is the next thing that we're diagnosing. And then from apply rate, obviously close rate, and then client retention and ascension. A lot of businesses don't even have a lot of those pieces in place, or they're not looking at it, or they're not identifying where those holes are in that bucket. So that's what we're looking at, is we're trying to find where those holes are. And then what we do is we work one-to-one with that client to help them design a strategy that's going to get them where they want to go.
Are there certain segments you work with? So when you talk about your clients, are they individual people that have their own consulting practices? Are there technology companies, all the above?
A good 40% of our clients are coaches, consultants. So in the fitness space, nutrition, B2B, mindset, lifestyle, leadership executive coaches, that's probably half our clients. The other half are marketing agencies. They're running ads for clients. They're doing marketing for clients. They're working direct to business, mostly in that space.
So let's jump into, when we say marketing ecosystem, what does that mean to you? So I don't assume.
Picture that bucket. Every business has a bucket that they're putting their leads into, their time, their effort, their appointments, their sales calls, their fulfillment. That's the bucket, right? Their bucket is the business. And every business has those holes in that bucket, like I was talking about. The ecosystem is everything that you're putting those people through in order to get people to come out the other end. Some might call it their marketing funnel, but it's the ecosystem because an ecosystem is multifaceted, right? It's not just one thing or two things or three things. There's a lot of components to it. So every touch point that your leads hit in order to become a client and then beyond is your ecosystem.
So for our audience, what might be one or two strategies to share with us in helping people build robust marketing ecosystems?
The easiest answer to that question, Carlos, is really understand why your marketing to your clients to begin with. I know that's sort of a vague answer, and we can dive a little bit deeper into it. But most of our clients come to us because they want to get to a certain revenue and they're stuck, like I mentioned before. And usually they're stuck because they're not connecting with their target audience in the right way. And what I mean by that is they're doing a lot of superficial marketing or advertising or lead generation. And they think that they're offering what their clients want when they really aren't. First and foremost, it's really understanding why or what they're after, what your client's deep desires are, and most importantly, their emotional triggers. I call it emotional manipulation, but it's ethical, right? Can it be used for evil? Absolutely. But what we tell our clients is if you genuinely believe in what you have to offer, that you can genuinely help someone and help them in any aspect of their life, whether it's their business or their personal life, you have an ethical obligation to get them to see what you have to offer. So that's what the ethical manipulation is really all about. And that's what marketing is, right? It's getting people's attention. Marketing is lead generation. Everything that happens after that is sales, all of the nurturing that goes into it. So that's the foundation, right? Is really having a clear picture of your target audience, doing some real deep target audience research and really getting at the root of what they're after.
So Ben, before we get into some automation stuff, I'm curious because I work with, it's kind of a passion project of mine, actually. I work with a lot of startups and I'm on the board for our incubator here and stuff like that. And when you're strapped for resources at that stage, what, in your opinion, is the best route? Like, do you put the investment into marketing or do you put the investment into somebody who can do outbound sales?
We can't have sales without leads. So, and that's what marketing is all about. So you've got to start there. I would put all of my resources into what I call top of funnel income producing activities, which is lead generation and sales calls. And that's all they should be focused on.
Okay. Cause yeah, I work with some companies that are just like, well, you know, like I don't believe that ads work or I don't believe that this works or, but I have to argue every time because I think, you know, if somebody is interested in what you're doing, and they try to search for your solution, what's out there for them to find? And that to me largely is marketing, is like that content piece, that branding piece that I'm here to solve this problem. And even the story behind why did you create this company, as you mentioned before, like that to me is the compelling reason someone should work with you. You can have somebody doing sales calls all day long, but if they don't fully understand what you're solving for, then why do they care?
Absolutely. There's a great book that I recommend to all of your listeners. I have no financial interest at all. It's Story Brand by Donald Miller. And we have our entire team and company read this book. It's not that there's these advanced tactics or strategies in it. He breaks it down to make it a very simple process to get everyone in your company and your program on the same page when it comes to the message that you're delivering. And it's exactly what you said, Lisa. It's about having that clear picture of what exactly you can do to help people get to where they want to go. That's what business is. It's transformation, right? So if you can't clearly explain that or demonstrate how you're going to help somebody, you're not going to be effective at sales. You're certainly not going to be effective at lead generation. But hands down, lead generation is where it's at. We do have a lot of clients that come to us who can't afford to run ads. They're maybe a two-man show. It's maybe themselves and their wife or spouse. And so there are a lot of things that people can do organically. Organic and social media is a great resource. God, I wish I would have had it back in 2003. The level that people have it now, it's so much easier. But at the same time, it's also a lot harder because there's so much noise. There's a lot of people who are vying for the attention of your target audience. So what we try to teach is a level of personalization. And I know this is going to sound strange because we're going to talk a little bit about automation, but there are actually ways that you can automate and bring personalization at the same time. And that, to me, is the future.
So I'm with you. I think there's a ton of noise out there. So as a company starting to get their brand out there, let's say they work internally to get alignment and get clear messaging. Is it an email campaign? Is it an ad? Is it doing podcasts and starting your own podcast? I mean, I think back to when we started this thing, you know, 300 episodes ago, when Chad started, there wasn't that many of them. In fact, people go, podcasts, what? And now there is a gazillion of them. When you think about social media, then you go, hey, what platform do I get on where the right clients are on? What advice do you have, Ben, for companies and what avenues they go after?
All of the above, eventually. But where we typically start with a client is the path of least resistance. Typically, we'll have people who will come to us that have a little bit of an audience, whether it be on social or they have a little bit of an email list. They're just not hitting the touch points properly or enough. So what we'll do is what we call a reactivation campaign. We find the higher the price point, and this varies. So if you're watching this or listening to this, and your price point is under $1,000, you might not need as many touch points as someone who's, let's say, has a 2K, 5K, 10K, 50K offer. The more expensive, the more touch points. So what we do, Carlos, is we try to identify obviously where their target audience is hanging out if they don't have that list already. Like you mentioned, social media is a great example. If you're in that demographic of 25 to 40, Instagram is going to be your home base, right? If you're in that 35 to 50, probably Facebook. 45 to 55, probably LinkedIn, right? There's so many different places that people can go. But the key result with people who are just starting out who are newer really needs to be to direct to consumer, like direct response. They need to be going directly to their target audiences and initiating conversation. And I know that's uncomfortable for a lot of businesses. So a very simple strategy, this is very tactical, boosted post, a very simple process, a really good reel on social media or story post or something on Facebook with a little bit of boost behind it, $10 a day, can start to get people to raise their hand. And as soon as you've tasted that as a marketer, someone coming to you rather than you going to them and having it be quick, right? So you can do a post today and within an hour or two have people coming into your inbox or responding to your ad or lead magnet, you now are in the business. Whereas opposed to traditional business would be, okay, let's design your brand, let's get your website built, let's create your strategy. And all of those things are important eventually, for sure. But hands down, you cannot have a business without sales. You cannot have sales without people to talk to. And so path of least resistance, quick, get action. We have a 7-day push for people who are brand new. In fact, we make them go through a little bit of a little mini course before they start working with us if they are new. So they'll go through that. And that 7-day push is designed to do nothing other than throw them in the fire, sink or swim, you know, deep end of the pool. Here's some strategy, here's some scripts. Let's go start making some contact with people. So obviously, that is just the beginning. To build a really true marketing system, you need nurture. So you need all of those touch points. When someone responds to our ad, they come in and they immediately, of course, they opt in, they get an email, but they also get an automated text, personalized text. And I'll explain more about that in a second. They also get a voicemail drop from us, welcoming them to the course or the lead magnet or whatever, drawing attention to something specific. They will get access to some sort of membership, you know, course. Then we have messengers, we have setters that will personally engage with these people. They'll call them. They get a phone call, like from a live person. We leave no stone unturned. We have a free group that we put people into. We have a free community that's similar to like school. That's all the rage right now. We have our own internal community. God, there's so much. We do live challenges, live events. We're doing everything that we possibly can to hit as many touch points as we can, because that's what gets the sale. Most of our leads are not ready to work with us the moment they come into our system. That's not realistic with an expensive offer. So that nurture is all these touch points all working together. Podcasts are something that we haven't even started yet, but it's definitely something that I would recommend, which is why I'm here.
I think the other cool thing about a podcast, you can get so much content behind it. We don't leverage it enough. You know, you talk for someone for 30 minutes, you don't realize how many snippets of great information you can get and then turn into each individual campaign. But I digress. So this is getting into automation. So you started it, like, how do we utilize automation? So it isn't all on that founder individual that's doing this, right? Do you automate a lot of these steps? And some of them, do you throw people into it as well to help them?
Yeah. So my focus wasn't to try to make this a pitch on Elite 360. It's my baby and I'm passionate about it. So of course, I'm going to say it's the best thing in the world. But you can create automation without our specific tool. It's just, it's harder, right? You've got to piece together some things. But here's the ways that we add automation. And listeners can take their own systems and implement them, I'm sure, or they can try to. So I'll go back to my example. When someone, we have a lead magnet out there, for example, that talks about our 8-point sales script, because we work with a lot of businesses to help them improve their sales. That's one of our inbound tools to get people to raise their hand. When they opt in for that, of course, they're going to get an email that delivers that script, personalized with their name. But the moment they opt in on the page, we have a special code that on the next page after they opt in that carries their personal name over. So on the actual sales page where they're going to watch a video, it says their name on that page. On the chatbot that is on that page, it has their first name. So when if they click on it to ask for help or want to have a conversation, their name is there. When they get that automated image or automated text that comes through, we have a special image software in Elite 360 that will send an image that says, you're going to love XYZ tool. And it's either me or one of our sales team pointing at a screen. And on that screen is that message, you're going to love XYZ tool, but it has their first name automatically populated on it. That's a level of personalization with automation that doesn't look automated. That's the whole point. Then what we're doing is, of course, you know, we're implementing things like AI, and we have an automated chat, which can add a level of personalization. But probably one of the most important things that we do when it comes to what I would recommend people do when it comes to automation is implementing what I call a feedback loop. And so, and I know this is kind of techie and it's kind of hard to understand, but it's so awesome. When we do an intake form of someone who's filling out a lead magnet or something like that, they're answering specific questions about their business. With our system, we call them custom values. I can take that response and I can automatically put it into an email or a text message so that I'm feeding back what they're giving to me so they think that I'm genuinely looking at their information. So our account managers who work with our clients, we do automated check-ins with them, right? And we do the same thing. When we do an onboarding and intake form with a client, we have all of that data that they've given us. We can feed it back to them and it makes it look like we're taking the time to speak with them. In our lead generation, we have taken and created a system where we can have someone on social media say, hey, I'll do it with you guys right now. If you were to send me a text, if you text me executive right now to this number, 512-675-1507, that's our phone number, it's going to automatically send you back a response. If you were to DM me, do it right now. You could text executive to 512-675-1507. We've incorporated into social media as well. So have you ever guys seen an influencer doing a post and they say something like, hey, DM me the word this or come at this or...
We're so glad you enjoyed the Revenue Executive podcast and you're interested in taking advantage of our special offer. Go to www.elite360.io to start your free trial and get your $100 off discount. By the way, you can reply stop and you can never hear from us again. Of course, we'll be sad if you do. Cry face. Emoji. That is awesome.
Isn't that pretty cool? The social media influencers, they'll say, hey, comment below, you know, something like that. We've created a system where our clients can say, hey, DM me the word this, and it'll automatically send back a reply so that they don't have to physically be taking that time to respond to all of those DMs, right? And so this is where we're taking automation and personalization to make people be more efficient. It's not about replacing people. And I want to be super clear with that. I think there's a huge misunderstanding in the marketplace about AI and automation. No, we won't need humans anymore. That's not it at all. No, it's to make me more efficient. It's to make our setters more efficient. It's to make our sales team more effective. It's what a great tool to implement to bring efficiency and at the end of the day, ROI. Right. I mean, part of one of my roles here is I'm the COO of we've done $100 million in 6 years. Optimization is everything for me. That's what I spent. That's where Elite 360 came from, right? Is trying to give us and our clients a more effective way to run their business more profitably.
And I'd say, so just going along with that same theme as we switch topics a little bit, is that one of the keys we all know to being successful in sales or lead generation, anything really, is consistency. So, you know, you're talking about efficiency, you're talking about productivity, but a lot of the things that go wrong, and we see it all the time in our business too, is that people just drop off campaigns or they just don't follow up as much as they should. So that ties directly back to if you're going to be successful in sales or marketing, you need to be persistent, consistent, and the automation is going to help you to find that time to make sure that you're consistent. Because I've worked with so many founder owners that they're also the sales department when they're starting out. And it's just like, well, if you don't call people back or if you don't follow up, if you don't, then where do you think those leads are going to go? Like, you need to kind of like hunt people down, you chase people because they're busy. And so I think the automation piece, instead of being scared of it, you should be thinking about that consistency piece. But what do you suggest as a part of that?
I agree 100%. And it is one of the biggest limitators of potential income to clients. I mean, they're literally leaving money on the table because they're not following up enough. I know it's a super cliche. It's been in the industry a long time. The fortune's in the follow-up. But it is. Most people are going to need multiple touches. And if you're not using multiple touch points, you're missing out on revenue. We get 15% of our sales every single month from follow-up email. We had one that came in just the other day. This person did a 12-month deal with us for $50,000. $50,000 sale. You know where they booked their call from? An email footer link. that we sent out. Just a normal nurture, you know, we have a nurture campaign that's like 30 days long. It's just a normal, here's a cool strategy. At the bottom of the email, there's a link that has our UTM tag in it. That's the email footer. That's where they book their call from. Most people don't have any clue of where most of their sales are coming from, let alone a back-end system. So I think it's so important, but we also use it to hold our staff accountable for exactly what you just said, Lisa. Even if you're a solopreneur, you get busy. We have a huge team. We have 50-something team members, so I need help managing, right? So I will use an automated process to send task reminders for things, whether it's following up, getting on sales calls. You know, there's so many different things that we do, but it's extremely important. When someone filled out a specific form that we have, it'll actually send a Zapier notification into Slack to that specific person to make sure that they take a specific action. So it's not just for sales, but it's also for operations, right? And running a business. The logical question is, why don't all businesses do this? Well, because it's hard, and that's why we get paid, right? And that's why, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what makes you money. If I were to give a business who maybe doesn't have the budget to work with a company like ours, who's just starting out, I would say start small, start simple, and at least just incorporate, start with email. Like, at least have an automated email system that will follow up with people for you. And you can set it for as long as you want it to be and deliver really good content. If you're doing social media content, just mirror the same thing that you're doing. Just put it in an email, right? And you can even link back to your social media so you don't have to reproduce a whole lot. Just start there so you can at least get some nurture going. And then from there, I would do text, hands down, text marketing, SMS, voicemail drops. That's what our system does. From there, now I would start branching into the personalization with some of the things that we've talked about and just bring that automation follow-up into a whole other level. I cannot tell you the number of people. When we get a new customer with Elite 360, if you sign up for that trial, Lisa, you'll get an automatic text from me pointing at that screen saying, Lisa, welcome to Elite 360. You're going to love it. 90% of the people reply back, oh my God, thank you so much for sending that. That's so sweet. That's so cool. I love it, right? It's that type of thing that business owners have to start moving into if they want to be able to stand out in this marketplace, because it's only going to get noisier.
All right. So two questions, Ben. One is, and I'm asking for a friend, if you were trying to get into this, you talked about starting small, you talked about expanding out, what kind of budgets or, you know, what kind of range are we talking about? Is this, hey, you got to start out at X, Y, what would that look like?
Well, with that $100 discount that I just gave you, Elite 360 is $97 a month. We don't do sales calls for it. It's $97 a month and you have an email system, you've got texting, you've got CRM, you've got sales pipelines, you got everything you're going to need to run your business. That's why we created it. But in terms of starting to grow their business, that boosted post strategy that I recommended, $10 a day, so $300 a month, can, you know, should get someone that has a fairly good offer at least 100 leads, 100 people raising their hand. I mean, minimum, right? I think that's probably pretty fair. If you can close 20% of those 100, that's 20 sales. If you can't, you know, that's okay. You know, if you can close two, that's two. But starting somewhere, that would be the bare minimum. So a few hundred a month, you know, realistically. Now, to play at the big boys table, you need to be running regular paid ads, have a consistent ad lead generation strategy, at least 1,000 to or plus leads per month coming in. So you're looking at probably in the 3,000 to 10,000 a month range to make a serious foundation with your business.
You might have an interesting perspective to this. So when we talked to clients, we looked at all this different research. How many touch points does this nurture campaign really take? And there's all sorts of answers all over the map out there. I'm curious, because you're actually seeing these campaigns go on, how many touch points, or give me a range, have you seen that it really takes to work? Because I think most people think they're doing a lot of them. They're really not. And they're obviously not doing enough of them. So I'd just love to get from your perspective.
So we have, I think, 14 different mechanisms that we touch people. We went through a lot of them, but I've seen anywhere from 1 to 14. And let me give you a specific example. We had someone that just became a client the other day who's been in our ecosystem. And what I see, he's been on our email list for over 3 years and just became a client. Whereas 2 days ago, we had someone opt in from an ad who just became a client. And all they did was opt in from the ad and book their call. So they only saw one touch point. So it's different for everybody. But I think what people need to really start looking at, instead of touch points, well, I mean, touch points are important, but it's the what I call the time in the ecosystem, which means how much time goes by from their first touch to when they enroll. And on average, what that time is, and your goal should be as an operations manager or a marketing manager, should be to try to shrink that window as much as possible. So that's what we pay a lot of attention to. So we use our touch points to try to shrink that window. So for example, we use what's called a two-step strategy to reactivate leads that have been on our list. We'll create a cool lead magnet that's sexy and attractive to our market, and we'll send out a text message or a voicemail blast that says, hey, if you want this, reply back with XYZ. And then we send them out. And then what our setters do is they will get it, boom, like flies on you know what. They're going to be all over that person to reactivate and rekindle that conversation and start holding their hand through the process of taking that next step. So that's where the different touch points comes in. Well, hey, we're doing a live webinar, you know what I mean? And we'd put that on social and we're going to put it on email and we're going to put it on this. That's another touch point that we're getting them into. Hey, we're doing a live event in Phoenix. We just had one. And again, another touch point. So unfortunately, Carlos, I wish there was a, you need to be doing 7 touch points a month, but I would say a minimum of email, text, voice communication at some level is going to be critical. Again, just think to yourself this, how can I be different? How can I stand out from everybody else? If everybody else is just sending emails, what else can I do to separate from myself?
Ben, I was saying it's such a good point. Like standing out is something I talk about a lot when I work with XDR teams, whoever's prospecting out there is like, you've got to do something to stand out from all the noise. And, you know, like not everyone, depends on who you're selling to, of course, but a lot of the people that we're selling to are getting hundreds, if not thousands, of messages from all those different mediums that you mentioned. And so, like, what are you going to do to be the one that they respond to? So we've got to change direction a little bit here just because we'd love to keep you all afternoon, but we know we can't. You've got a business to run. So one question we do like to ask some of our guests, especially like you who have been running your own business for a while, but you've also been in the corporate world. What is, would you say, a big misstep, mistake, something that you did, you would go back and do differently? And why? And it can be business or personal, but just something our listeners might be able to learn from your experience.
Boy, that's a loaded question. I think I mentioned a little bit earlier the whole premise of why. In my early on in my marketing days, or trying to learn and master marketing or just business in general, I was very tactical. I was very, what's the script that I need to follow and, you know, to make sales? And, you know, what should my landing page look like? Like very tactical, superficial, really, strategies, when I really should have been focused on psychology. And I really should have been focused on how can I connect with people at a more personal level through marketing. So it's combining those two things of technology with psychology, again, not to unethically manipulate, but to open people's eyes. Because people, you know how they are, especially now, they get so in their own little worlds. You've got to shake them in order to get them to open up their mind just enough to be able to see that you can genuinely impact their life and their business and or both. So I know that's not a real sexy answer, Lisa, but really it's so important. I would really invest some serious time into learning psychology, why people make decisions. Eugene Schwartz is a great all-time OG of the industry and really taking some time and understanding why, as opposed to what, like, what do I say in this headline to get people to do this? That doesn't matter. If you understand why, then all of a sudden your social content calendar is full, right? Your email, what you send, what you say in your ads, your headlines, it all just flows because you understand your clients and your potential clients at a level that most people won't. And that's the differentiator, right? You see people who produce really good content and get really good engagement. It's because people want to hear what they have to say. I mean, it's not rocket science, but we've forgotten that. And I think that's what I wasted a lot of time, bought a lot of courses, attended a lot of things, did a lot of strategy and that superficial sort of stuff. And I would have spent a lot more time getting into that psychology.
Ben, we're with you. Me and Lisa spend a lot of time working with clients and kind of remind them, no one wants to be converted from a lead to an opportunity. No one wants to be sold, but people want help with really complex problems. And if you could turn it into helping someone make a buying decision or even helping them to say, hey, I can't, you know, what you want to do, we don't do. So, you know, let me recommend somebody else is, you know, the whole thing about being much more genuine and someone that someone really wants to listen to. So I'm with you 100%. All right, last question of the day. We call it Acceleration Insights. What might be that one piece of advice, be it business or personal, that you would love to share with our audience so they can be as successful as you are?
Prepare yourself for the emotional roller coaster. This kind of goes back into the psychology that I mentioned earlier too. Understand your own personal motivating factor. If you don't have something that's driving you to do what you do, even when you don't want to, you're never going to make it. And that really is the secret to being successful in anything, really. But for me, business, it's that driving factor. And I think we talked about it when we first started. That's one of the first things that we do with clients. And we do it for a reason, because all of the stuff that we're going to help them implement into their business is going to mean absolutely nothing if they burn themselves out. And that burnout happens because they're not emotionally ready. They don't understand what they're about to go through and the journey that they're going to go through, or they're going to have to, right? I mean, if it were easy, everyone would do it. You guys remember that movie, A League of Their Own, with Tom Hanks and Gina Davis? It's one of my favorite. And in there is a quote, she's getting ready to leave back, go home with her husband and not go through and play in the World Series. And she says, it just got too hard. And he turns around to her and says, it's supposed to be hard. The hard is what makes it great. And that's what gives the opportunity. And that's what we get clear to our clients is, because it's so hard, you have such a great opportunity, because not everyone is going to see it through, but you've got to survive it. And in order to survive it, we need to know exactly what's going to drive you. And we actually get that information, and we will hold our clients accountable to that. When they start to waver, and they will, remember, this is what you said, right? This is where you want to go. And it burns and it hurts. But that's my best piece of advice, because if you know why you're doing it, start with Why is another great book by Simon Sinek. But if you know why, all the other stuff will kind of figure itself out. I'm a CEO, right? I love tactics and I love tech and the strategy. I love that combining those two worlds. But at the end of the day, we're good at what we do because we understand our clients, because we've been there. We're not tech people. We're business owners that really get a lot of satisfaction out of empowering other people and just making it better and easier for them. And that's when you've got a solution that you're passionate about and you understand why you're doing it, it's fun. It's no longer work. I mean, it's hard, but it becomes more fun. So that's my advice.
I love it, Ben. Honestly, like, that's one of the things that gives us so much credibility in what we do, is that we are trainers. We train people in how to sell better, but we are also 100% commissioned sales reps. So if we don't sell our own deals, we don't eat. We don't pay bills. So when we go into those workshops, we can be like in the trenches with the people who are selling those deals, because that's what we do every day. And a lot of the time, they've got a base salary and we don't. So it builds a lot. That's awesome. Ben, if one of our listeners wanted to get in touch with you and talk about any of the topics we covered today or Elite 360, what's your preferred method for communication or to get in touch with you?
They can text executive to 512-675-1507. And believe it or not, we can actually have a direct back and forth conversation. It'll be my team, but eventually it'll get to me. And that can lead to anywhere, but that's an easy touch point.
Well, Ben, we know how busy you are, so cannot thank you enough for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure. I had a lot of fun.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, everyone, that does it for this episode of the B2B Revenue Executive Experience. Please check us out at www.b2brevexec.com. Share this episode with your friends, your family, your cats, your dogs, your kids. And you can subscribe through YouTube, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, so you'll get notified each time we drop a new episode, which is weekly. And if you like what you hear, you could do us a huge favor and throw us a 5-star review on iTunes. I am Lisa Schneer. I am joined by my ever delightful podcast partner in crime, Carlos Noche. And until next time, we wish you nothing but the greatest success.
You've been listening to the B2B Revenue Executive Experience. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.